That sounds like home to me. Once more as we get ready for responsive reading. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Amen.
Amen. Sorry, getting old, didn't hear you. Having such a good time just singing and playing. It's good to see everybody here this morning, all these smiling faces. What a positive view I'm looking at right now. The bride of Jesus Christ has come together around His Word and to be blessed this day. And listen, folks, ask Him to reveal it to you. So you walk out of here stronger, more ready to face the world, because He put it in front of us. And we do have a preacher and we do have a ministry here that brings it. So all you got to do is receive it. And believe it and walk in it and claim it. We're going to read Psalms 19 this morning. And before we read, I would like to just go to the Lord and thank Him for His Word. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given to come and gather around Your Word. And once again, Father, just to lift You up and glorify Your name, Father, that You might come and dwell in us and have Your way with us, Father God. Father, we know the mystery now. You brought it to us, Lord. Fill us, Lord God. Fill us every space in us, Father, that we can walk in Your Word. And Father, You'll see You when You look back at us, Lord, because that's what Your design was. And Father, I know You're going to have Your way with us, Lord. And Father, we thank You now. And Father, just to be here, and I ask, Lord, that special burdens on my heart, that for the ones that couldn't make it here today, whatever the hindrance is, Lord, You know what it is. You know why it is. Just touch them and bless them and be with them. Know that they're loved and they're missed. And Father, they're always with us. And Father, today we ask You to just touch and bless Brother Dale and lift him up and strengthen him, Father, even though he may be a little bit older than me, Lord. He's as strong as he ever was. Amen. And just touch him and bless him and continue to bless him, Lord, with the ministry. And bless Brother Wade for this afternoon service. And bless it, Lord, because we love to hear the Word here. And You brought it here, Father, for us to feed on. We ask these things in Your name. And now as we go to Your Word, Father, You just come on the scene and have Your way with us. We ask it in Your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love to read His Word. Nothing like it. And as we read Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork.
Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge.
There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race.
And going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his servant unto the end of the heaven, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
Amen. The Lord are right.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together.
Altogether. More be desired than any gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Amen. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward.
We can understand his errors. Cleanse thou me from
Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for the reading of his word.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. John, if you want to help us out with tithes and offerings. Amen.
Thank you, God. Just bless our hearts to the word and just guide us and protect us this day. Thank you for all your wonderful blessings. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll sing, You Deserve the Glory. Amen. He deserves it. And the honor. I like it. The Lord, he's not afraid to tell us that there's a great reward. Amen.
You deserve the glory.
Amen. Let's raise our hands and worship him. Thank you, Lord.
Holy name, you deserve the glory.
Does he deserve it?
And the honor. As we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name.
Yes.
As we lift our hands to worship.
Let's raise our hands and worship.
We praise your holy name. Deserve the glory.
Yes, Lord.
And the to worship as we praise your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you.
You are great, for you.
like you.
Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you heard that sermon this morning while we was listening to during pre-service. And he said that greatest miracle for God to take sin out of somebody's life. Amen. Make you into a saint by the grace of the Lord Jesus. So I thank him for doing that in my life. Amen. You ready for the word? Amen. Amen. But let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as our brother comes out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh my Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh my Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we
see him, don't you? And we've fought the battle, been through great trials and things, and come now to the point of ending it all up. Because we've got to admit we're in the last days. I mean, that's not something to say, well, we don't know about this or about that, but we're in the last days. We're winding it all up, and we just thank God for the opportunity to know where we're at and what's taking place. But it's good to see everybody. Glad to have Sister Tootsie back with us. You seen her come up out here, you know, I mean, her legs broke, crushed, and everything in the book, and she hadn't been out just a little bit, but we kept trying to offer her help to come up the thing, and we wound up thinking we were going to have to help Sister Frieda instead of Sister Tootsie, because Sister Tootsie just walked right straight up that ramp and come right on in and got everything, you know, inside, and she didn't want no help. So that's a good way to do it. I like to see that. I like to see the spunk, you know. If you say, I'm not going to just do this. I'm going to get up and go and work on it. Amen. And it's good to do that. We just appreciate it and all. Now remember this coming Sunday coming up. We will be starting with the Sunday school classes downstairs, you know, the children, the things, okay? Not Wade's class, but boys, all the others, all of them are going to do it. And we're going to wait a week because Wade's going to be gone ministering. But, you know, but this coming Sunday now that will be, it'll be the same thing, 9:45. You just don't come up or anything like that and whatever, then just go right straight to your classes and things, and all the sisters and things will have everything set up and ready for you to enjoy the services. And then the next weekend we'll have it set up to pull in, and Boyd will be able to go into Wade's Sunday school class, giving him more room, and it'll be, based on that. And we'll be having the Sunday school class up here for the adults, okay? The ones coming up here will be the Sunday school class, and we're going to rearrange the services just a little to where that we can fit it all in, and we get it all fit in, and then it should flow right straight in that the Sunday school class will be here upstairs, Wade's class, or whatever, if when he's out or something, whatever, who's doing it will be up here for the morning service and then flow right on in to the ministering and be able to, we should be able to go and basically just the ministry side of the second part, you know, which would be, say, if I'm preaching that day, it should flow right straight in to where that it's between 11:30 or at least 11:40. Ten, we will flow into the evening service and shouldn't have any problems of doing it, okay? So we're going to try to get that fixed up to where we can have everything better because we don't have enough room downstairs. I mean, we're sorry. We just don't have the room to be able to put you in this place or put you in that place. We just don't have those to do. All right, and it will be being announced heavily this month about the June time for the vacational time for the sisters and for the brothers. So we'll be doing that. It'll be doing it. You get everything ready, get it all in motion, and get everything turned to do. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to be aggravating about it, but we brothers, we get our set, and we just let somebody take care of it, and it's all done. We don't have no arguments about where we're going to stay and what we're going to do. You ain't got no choice when you walk in the room to decide what bed you're going to sleep in. You grab the first one you can get a hold of, you know, and you just do everything you can because we just don't have any trouble. Maybe we ought to send some of the, maybe one of the men along to direct the women, but, you know, I'm not throwing off on you now, sister. You want to eat here, you want to eat there. We just want to eat. I mean, it don't matter to us if we got to go down to McDonald's and get a hamburger, we're going to eat, you know. But if we can, we'll go up here and have this, what do you call it, London broil, or what is that thing?
Low country broil,
you know, we always have that. And, you know, if you don't like one part of that, slide it over. I'll eat that. You eat your side of it. We'll take care of it, right? Sorry about that, sis, but it's truth. You know, just don't argue with each other about what's going on, okay? Because Brother Long and his son will be here for that weekend ministering for us on that. And the Lord willing, they're not here, but Brother Luis will be ministering, Lord willing, Wednesday. So just remember that and getting everything kind of in order to where that we can do any other announcements. Wade announced he wants to meet downstairs in the evening, after the evening service with the song leaders, the deacons, the ministers. We're going to try to get everything in order that we can get to where it all works and flows without having any trouble in that. Okay. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading from Romans 11, and then we'll go to Ephesians 4. Yes, we are having communion today. Now, we still will not have the foot washing. We will hold off on that for a little time. We kind of flow into everything we can, gradual, to where that is not, you know, not causing difficulties. But we just thank God for taking care of us and guiding us. Glad to have Danny back with us because he got the blunt end of the deal. Joyce and them, they wound up with small amounts. Well, that's still okay. You get hit with it. It's rough. It ain't no small thing. It's a rough thing. But then God will just take care of us and bring us through. We appreciate it, okay? All righty. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for everything, and we ask you to just be with us now as we go into the service, and we pray that you would bless each one and guide us in your understanding, keep us in your love, that your light might shine into our hearts. Be with each one of those, the ones that are sick. Remember Brother Al there, Lord, having a lot of problems and weaknesses and things, Lord, and just touch him and bring everything out of it. And all the others, Brother Hal, Sister Audrey, and all the ones, Sister Cleta, Lord, and for Brother Collie, Brother Darty, we pray that you'd bless them and Sister Mary and all, and just let your loving grace be with us. Remember those that are not here with us today, and all out traveling and things and all. And Lord, just let your love and grace be with us all. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're reading from Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. All right. Now, turn over to Ephesians 4. For the gifts, many, plural, many gifts, but only one calling. Because make your calling and election sure. See, we're all involved in that, but yet we have different gifts. You know, different gifts in our doing, and we appreciate all of that, but we're just trying to cover what those gifts are and then try to relate it down to finish it up. And I hope we can get far enough to, if not, if you listen to last night's Bible study, I mean, I'm saying I had a good time. I enjoyed it. It was good to be able to sit down and talk and let you listen and me do all the talking. No, I tried not to do that, but it just gets hung out, so you ain't going to sit there and say, all right, who's next? Well, 45 minutes later, who's next? No, we're going to do something. If we have to get up and dance or do something, we're going to do something for a time instead of just sitting there dead and all of that, and just have a good time fellowshipping together. Amen. It's what I like. Amen. It's wonderful for all of us to be able to come into the building and just sit down and just have a good time. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and we just pray the Lord would bless. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 4. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. All right? Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that's Psalms 68 verse 18 that says almost verbatim word the same there, because it was from back there promising, looking forward to the New Testament, and Paul picks that up in his telling you that what it is all about, and he relates back to that and says, well, now this is what the word is saying back there. So wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the gifts. He gave gifts. He ascended. He brought the gifts. The ascending and descending brought to pass the part of the gifts could come into being, of the Holy Ghost coming on the day of Pentecost, the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the gifts and things, et cetera, as we try to cover. All right? So when he gave some apostles and some pastors, I mean some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity. How long is this to be? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's stop right there and just, you may be seated, and then we'll pick up, because while you're being seated, I want to go to one more scripture that, you know. See, it says over here that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. All right, now my point of emphasis to you now, if you want to, I don't have this for them, but if they want to grab it and see if they can get it up, but would be in the Corinthians, 12:28. And what I want you to get out of this point is that he's not laying in order which one is greater than the other. He's not saying here in the thing. See, you could say, well, now, wait a minute. It says apostles first. Well, that may be over in, I think that's right, same in Corinthians, it says it first. All right. But he's not necessarily making a definite statement of which comes first. Because I don't believe, now I'm as straight as I can be, I don't believe that there's any difference in the ministry in the body of Christ. Now, I'm talking about the fivefold ministry. One is not greater than the other. Now, it may be that one brings the word in a greater measure. But so what? As long as we get it. The main thing is us to get it. The main thing is for us to come to a position of understanding. And that's what we read in Ephesians, till we all come to the unity. And you go over in Peter in the stature of a perfect man, but see, it doesn't use the word stature. Go back and read it. It doesn't use it. Paul picks it up here and he lays it into a growth development, understanding, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, and he brings that into order. But now let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:28. Let's see if I can get it right. All right, now 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Now he said it in the church. We're going to read a lot today, irregardless of whatever, we're going to read a lot where Brother Branham talks about that the fivefold ministry is the offices. Offices of the Holy Spirit. See, then that way one's not no more valuable than the other. One is just as important as the other. All right? But think about it now. And God has set some in the church. Now, who set it in the church? He says over here that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers. Okay? And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Now watch him. That's not a threefold ministry, you know what I'm saying? It's a fivefold ministry. But he doesn't name the other two, but he names them. Why? Because he says, thirdly teachers, after that, after 1, 2, 3, then you got miracles, then gifts of healing, governments, diversities of tongues. But he said, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But he said, covet earnestly the best gift that you show I unto you a more excellent way. What is it? It's in Jesus Christ. All right. Now, so what we've been doing, and I'm sorry, but I found out a long time ago to quit being sorry for changing your message and bring it, because it's always something there. And I've had the last couple of services, we've had company coming and going, and we love that. I'm not saying nothing. I say that it gives an opportunity. I say they were sent to make me back up and relate again something that you that was here didn't get. Now, that's as serious as I can be, because I've watched that for 50 years in the ministry. See, you come in, you got a preacher, and he comes up, and he's struggling in a message. He's struggling like everything. And man, he said, I tell you what, I don't know where's anybody getting anything out of what's saying today, because I ain't getting much myself. You know. But then you go outside and somebody says, I caught something. Well, you know what? What? You said, well, I would have loved to come out with that great, glorious anointing that I had the week before, you know, that I could run the aisles and I can do. But this one just seems to be dead. Well, it might be God is using that to make it work. Any way that it's done, we honor glory to the, give glory to God who does all of this. So, all right, now you understand what I'm saying then. See, Paul to the Corinthians, maybe there was some of them arguing who was best, who was first. There must have been, because he said, now are all apostles or all this or all that. But he just simply names off the apostles, prophets, teachers. He doesn't go in and call the pastor, you know, and all like that. But yet he does, because he says, and helps in governments, and this and that and the other. He's naming those gifts, but he's not doing it into one after the other. We want to argue, yes, but Brother Dale, I found over here, because you're always saying it's this, and I found over here where the Bible says this. Well, praise God. But does that make anything out of it? You know, Paul is expressing what we have need of is all of those gifts. All right? And I believe fully in a fivefold ministry. I don't believe in a onefold. I don't believe in a fourfold or a three or a two. But as Wade was bringing out there the other day, you know, Brother Branham come, I've always taught you that. Brother Branham came, as we would call it, outside of the fivefold ministry. Not outside that he was somewhere else. No, he could fulfill all of those ministries. Anything of the fivefold ministry, Brother Branham could fulfill that. Amen. Because he was the prophet of Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7. You say, well, you don't think I can do that? Brother Branham, no, I don't worry about it. I know you can't. Amen. I know I can't. Amen. See, quit trying to be something that you're not. Just be what you are. And it'll fit right into the body of Christ and everything will be perfect.
Amen.
All right, what's been our goal so far, what we've been talking about? Paul said the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The prophet said you don't repent to get a gift. You remember what he said? The first thing he remembered at 18 months... I don't remember what I done until I was 4 or 5 years old. How about you? Any of you remember anything that happened when you was 18 months old? I'm pretty sure it's 18. There's an amount of months right there. He said first thing he remembered was a vision. He was crawling across the floor, picking snow off of somebody's shoe that had walked in, and he saw the point about the bridge of falling the things, you know, when they're arguing. Do you see? Prophets are born prophets. Moses was born with a special gift. Brother Brown said he had the word from his youth. Why? Because his mother taught him. You are not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You're a direct descendant of Abraham. Coming down, and that's your people that's out there. Until one day it finally rose up in him enough till he started defending his people and killed that man, you know. See, because he realized who he was. He didn't have to wait. You get it in the Ten Commandments. They do the best they can, and I thank God for all of that. But you get in there, and they had him like 40, 50 years old when he finally found out who he was. And then they run him out of Egypt. Read your Bible. They didn't run him out. He ran out of himself. Because remember, he went back out the next day, and one of the Israelites or Jewish people said, he was correcting them, you know, and they said, you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? Well, he knew right then he was out of there. He prepared to leave because he knew what had happened had been exposed. And he couldn't do it. See, that's what I'm saying. You do the best. They do the best they can in the movies and the things like that. But most of the time they do it to try to attract. You know, they claim, what is it? Everything has to be in movies now, especially nowadays, in what do you call it, sections of like, it's only 2 or 3 minutes. Then it changes. Because your human mind locks in it on 2 or 3 minutes and stops. But if you change a scene real quick and make something real drastic happen, ever say 10 minutes or ever what time it would be, I don't know, I've just heard this, but I realize that's what they're doing. They're changing that to make you hold your mind. If not, you're going to go to sleep, especially if you're 81 years old. But you see, they do the best they can, thank God for it, but we'll take what the prophet said. And believe in that. And then he knew from his youth who he was. And what he'd come for, his mama told him daily. because she was taking care of him. Okay, let's go on with it. All right. Now, we started out explaining that gifts and callings of God are calling of God are without repentance. You don't repent to get a gift. You're born with it. All right. Now, don't get all involved in it. Take it as I try to explain it step by step. Because if not, you say, well, I got the Holy Ghost before I was ever even born into the world then, because I got the gift. That's not what it's talking. That's not what your prophet is saying when he said you was born with a gift. You were born with natural gifts. Natural abilities to do things that other people don't have. It's gift. All right. See, that don't make it to baptism with the Holy Ghost. I tried to explain that. You have gifts. You have gifts to be able to understand. If you have the new birth today and have the gift of knowledge, you had that gift back there. But it was in a different form of knowledge, maybe not working of God, because when you come into Christianity, you begin to start using that gift that was in you all the time. I don't see where there's any problem to understand that, but it gives a foundation to be able to say, well, wait a minute, the prophet didn't say this. The Bible don't say that. And you don't get all flustered, you know, and things. No. You go step by step and study things out and think about it. Think about what your prophet said. We were talking about it last night. Brother Brown said, I can conclusively prove that you are born again and baptized into the body. You take that one little quote and you can make him miss the entire Bible unless you understand what he's saying. And he said, now the new birth is a different than the baptism. Well, see, settle down and listen to what he's talking about. Take the illustration he always gave. He said, everything is made known by what illustration? Before and after. Everything will fall into place by before and after. Then you can see what you're dealing in the middle. All right? And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's what I've been dealing with. The fact that, see, you had gifts. You had things. You knew it, things in your life as you were coming up. Maybe you didn't think about it in the Christian realm. You didn't think about it in those terminologies because you were not supposed to. But you were just born a little different. I've told you I was a sinner. Go out and do things of the world and come home and sit down and feel dirty and feel like repenting and whatever. And see, a lot of people say, well, I've had people tell me, well, Bud, when I come back, I was happy. Well, you see, you're not getting it. Brother Brown said some people are just born different. There's just something different about you. Then you look and you finalize it and you bring it all the way over into your new birth and you bring it up in through the statue of a perfect man and you find out that that was the wonderful thing. That you know that you could, that God could do those things through you and you're a sinner. He don't beat us to death for being a sinner. I mean for sinning, he beats us to death for staying a sinner. Well, because we need to get rid of it. All right. See, that's what I've tried to bring is up, brought that. And then we moved up from there to where that you can really see the gifts and calling. See? And you bring it into the new birth. And you see that God, through the new birth, he can activate your life and things of where you had just a little things in your life that you might see something. And you might be a little different in school. And we were talking to a sister about it. That you can, you know, you could be, and people could run to you for advice and do different things. Well, see, you take that in the natural. But then when you get born again, God can activate that. He doesn't have to give you another gift. The gift is eternal life. Because that's what the Bible says. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All right? that you don't have to give you another gift. You're born with a gift. See, whatever you have today in the line of Christian doing, singing, worshiping, playing music, doing or preaching or whatever. See, that gift was there. But it was just in a form to not being used, maybe you would call the terms of it. But then when the Holy Ghost comes in, he starts doing, and then you got the nine spiritual gifts. And look what you've got in the nine spiritual gifts. You got love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, all of that over one part. Then you turn over on the other one and you've got the ability to discern, speaking in tongues and all kind of things in the nine spiritual gifts. See? That you can have. And God could come down during that, and the prophet was so wonderful to explain. And he said he could use you in that line. He could use you one time. He even said a preacher could be trained for what was it, 30 years or something, one 30-minute sermon or something. Some norm, just a small thing. Because it's what he's got. He gave you the gift. Now, wait a minute, you're getting it too far. Okay, now, hold the point. What have we all dealt in predestination? So don't run off the deep end. Think Brother Dale's dumped us now, and he's trying to bring something else down. No, stay with me. Gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You don't repent to get a gift. You're born with a gift. Well, I was born with eternal life. Now, wait a minute, you've gone too far now. You stepped out of the bounds of the Bible. Well, you said I was born with a gift. That was not a gift of the new birth. You wasn't born with a gift of the new birth. You got to be born again. All right. See, that way you put it in line. So when you come into the new birth, then you see how that God starts doing. Like, let's see. One of them I've got in here where Brother Brown said, there Moses was of all of the things, but said 1 5-minute at the front of that burning bush was worth more than all of his teachings and knowledge. He said, because there's where he was anointed. Well, see, you got the new birth. You may have had a gift of discernment. You may have had a gift of being able to understand this, that, or the other. But then that needs to be anointed. So it was anointed and put into action. Then you see it really working in higher realms. All right? Because that's the nine spiritual gifts. But in the nine spiritual gifts, even the prophet will cover, and I've got them right here if you want me to read that part to you to make sure, that in the nine spiritual gifts, they are for the perfecting of the saints. No, Brother Dale, I finally got what you're... the Bible says it's a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Now you're trying to tell me something else. Well, hang on, I might tell you a lot more down the road. See? But see, when you come into getting the new birth, it activates the gift that you already had. Amen. Paul saying, what was it, Eunice, Lois said, you know, Paul said, well, the gift that was in you from your grandmother or something, Lois. Yeah. Well, you don't lay on hands. He didn't go over there and say, now, wait a minute, Lois, we know you've been this all your life, so we're going to take off you and put over it over here. No, it's not. None of it is that away. See? It was to lay on hands to activate. Why do you lay hands on ministers to send them out? To first show others that you're behind them in the ministry of what they're doing. But others is to show that you are uplifting that gift. And honoring that gift that God has given you. Well, see, in the nine spiritual gifts, God can use you and then not use you again. Okay? That's what your prophet said. And see, then you can see that there's things that can happen in your life that you realize you were different. See, that new birth, when it comes into you, it activates that gift for God. It converts it over from where you was using it for the devil. And makes it over into working for God. All right. And see, those nine spiritual gifts works in the body of believers. Wisdom, knowledge, temperance, patience, all the stature of a perfect man. All of those different things that you start reading. They're in the local assembly. And then everybody's our subject. You realize what we're talking about last night on the point of it? You ever thought about it? Then you take, what are you going to do with nine spiritual gifts? What are you going to do? Well, a woman ain't allowed to do this, that, or the other. Now, you done walked off the word. Sorry. You done went out on your own limb because a woman is allowed to speak in tongues, interpret. She can have prophecies. She can have those things. See, in the nine spiritual gifts, it don't define between male and female and the operation of gifts. It deals with gifts. Because a sister can tell you something if you listen to her. I like Brother Woodby's way of saying it years ago. He said, that old woman up there in Tennessee scrubbing on a washboard said she'll tell you something if you listen to her. Said if she's got the new birth. She can tell you something. This thing ain't just thrown off for the man, you know, that he does all of the thing. No, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. In the nine spiritual gifts, you show it to me. In the nine spiritual gifts, that's in the local assembly. And God can use those things, men or women. Now, you move up to the fivefold ministry, out she goes. She can't fit in there. Why? Because it's a deeper part of what's taking place. Amen. More is happening, more is required. Amen. All right. See, then in the fivefold ministry, it was so amazing when I began to run little thoughts just to think about what is the prophet talking about. And to come to see how many times he used words like five ministering gifts. Then he'd talk about those gifts. And he'd talk about an office. You're going to have to think a little bit now because you're going to get yourself involved with a building with a door in front, and I'll call that an office. And that's what Webster says. Right? But what would be an office in the spiritual realm? Paul didn't say, come on, Timothy, walk in here in my office. No. Before Timothy stood the office, Paul standing there, he was the office of God. So use the word office in a different form of your mind instead of thinking about office being a building with doors and windows. Get it into what it's saying there because it's nine spiritual gifts. But five offices. Huh? Do you understand? You got this at work so much. You got this at work so much. You got this at work so much. And you got this over here that everybody's trying to take Brother Branham's office. Stay out of that office. I don't care how many doors you got or what you're doing. Stay out of that office. Because you'll get yourself in trouble with God in a hurry of trying to do it that way. You following me on what I'm trying to get you to see? I'm trying to keep it so simple until, to me, it's boring to have to keep repeating to people. But I learned a long time ago that's most of the time, as I was saying a while ago about it, that's most of the time when people are really getting it. When it seems to be so boring until it's just amazing and everybody has gone to sleep or gone to water, you know, it just seemed to be the whole thing. Now, there is some points where you can get so far in sleep that you don't remember nothing, but we won't go that way. I haven't heard anybody snoring in the services. Maybe you have, but, you know, you'd be like old Brother Maloney. I used to get so tickled at Brother Maloney. Old Brother Schrader was, he's bad to go to sleep. And he'd snore just a little. And he'd, and old Brother Maloney, by the time he'd get a couple like that, old Brother Maloney reach over. And old Brother Schrader just, and put his arm around Brother Maloney and just hug him up, you know. And there he'd woke him up. Well, okay. Yeah. See, when you get you to life, and then when you get people to life, and they're at least paying a little attention. So I'm going to add my point. I fully back what Wade said the other day about your bathroom deals now. And to prove it worked, there's nobody went in the bathroom last service. I'm just telling you now, church. See, I try to get you to life to where you can open up, and then you won't sire up on me and kill the rest of the service. Just remember, the prophet said, you will give an account for everything you've done, and said, if you hinder one person with your doing, then you'll be responsible. Well, now, Brother Dale, you mean we can't go to... Now, nobody didn't say you couldn't go to the bathroom. That's where you holler and scream and talk about... No, nobody didn't say that. It says to be nice and comfortable and do. You got to go to the bathroom. Go! The housekeeper don't want to clean up the poodles in the church. But when you just run it and run it and run it. Brother Brown said a child running through the church would hinder the next service. And he said, you'll be held accountable. No? Come on. If we're held accountable for what we're doing. I don't want to hinder nobody else. And I'm 81, so you'll see me going to the bathroom before I come in here. Because that's one of them things you're going to have to go. The older you get, the more you're going to go. Right. So we're not doing that, but I'm just telling you, I stand behind it now. I'm behind the rules and regulations of the church, and it's set forth, and I believe you should be wanting it to. Anyway, why would you want to hinder anybody? Well, my little darling, your little darling has got them little eyes that we call them the doggy eyes, you know, the little things where you want to pet the little doggy, you know, and then he bites the daylights out of you. But, okay, all right. We're doing that. I got that done, so I can quit. But listen. See, then you go from natural gifts to a place of nine spiritual gifts that puts you in the body and begins to work in a realm with God and his ways. And then you got a fivefold ministry. And all of these nine spiritual gifts have got to be judged. Right? But even in the fivefold ministry, they've got to be, we judge, but our judgment is what the prophet said. It's not a judgment of the congregation to decide whether it's right or wrong. I mean, if you ever get to the point where you think you can straighten the preacher out, then be careful. You might be right, but you might be wrong. Well, who are you arguing with? See, that's the serious part of it. We're not playing church. You know. Yeah, but Brother Dale, you'll run people off. I ain't never run nobody off. Preaching the word has never run nobody off. I've had a lot of people get up and walk out. Yeah. But I used to say it, and I finally got where I just quit saying it, and I said, if you're going to leave, don't slam the doors you're going out. At least be quiet. Get up and walk out and go on. Go somewhere else and do whatever. Because we ain't built this church on the basis of trying to make people come to church. Or threaten you because you don't come. Because you're just a hindrance to me, and I'm a hindrance to you if you're not in. Brother Brown said, find you a church that's got a God-given pastor and stay behind it. I'm going to say something, but it's going to be another week or two to get to it. But you know, Brother Brown talked about that pastor more than he did anybody. Now, we're talking about the fivefold ministry. I invite you to study some in the next few weeks. He talked about the pastor more than anybody. He said he's the burden bearer. Now, he didn't discount all the rest of them. No, no. No, he put it in their office and gave it right. But he put the pastor in the office. He says he's ordained to carry you through. Now, watch. So we got to get it right. He's ordained to carry you through if he's ordained. Well, I don't have no trouble quoting that. I don't have no problem with quoting the life part. That's the before and the after. I got it right. It's an honor to be a pastor of a church. It's an honor. But the other four ministries should honor that ministry as to where they're supposed to be and realize what God is doing. He's in charge. He doesn't have to give an account. Except, now listen, I pray it, wait a minute and I mean what I'm saying. The fivefold ministry gives an account to the prophet's message of how that he brings that. But they don't have to give an account to the congregation as to what they're doing. Oh. Brother Dale, you'd be better off I'd be better off. Yeah, I'd been better off a long time ago if I'd just quit and let it go. But it's too late now. I'm sorry. It's just too late. I'm trying my best to save your soul. And that's what the prophet, you want to hear it? Let's see if I can find it. I run it off a while ago. Anyhow, your pastor is ordained to lead you through. He watches after your soul. Now, here's what we've said. We've got to get it in order. If you had one ministry greater than the other, you have a trouble in the fivefold ministry. So what did I say to start with? He named it this way. He gave some apostles. He named it over here maybe in a different form of lineup than it is over here. But to me, he's saying not one minister is greater than the other. But you show me where there's any of the ministry. Because that pastor, sure, teacher could bring a greater depth of word. But he'll bust a church wide open. The evangelist, oh, he's good. But he'll run the people off. And the poor old pastor has to sit there and put it back together. Right? So now who's in charge? Who's got the greatest of all the gifts? Okay? Because he's ordained to carry you through. But you know what? Sorry to say it. Pastors don't believe this statement. But they have got to have a pastor. I've discussed this with the fivefold ministry people. You know what a lot of people have said? I've discussed it in ministers' meetings. They said, I'm a pastor, I'm a disciple. Who do I pay tithe to? I can't pay it to myself. Oh, they're really smart. You thought about that? You ever thought on those lines? Who does a pastor pay tithe to? You know, back in the Old Testament, the only one that was allowed to receive the tithe was the high priest. Then he divvied it down to the rest. Come on, get in the Bible and talk with me about it. The high priest was in charge of all of that because he was the pastor, and then he divvied it down. There's a lot can be said. We'll try to get it. Try to keep you from being lost in what's being said to where you can understand. That doesn't make the pastor greater. No, that's why Paul said. He said, I'm the least. He said, I'm the chiefest of all sinners. What about a man so great like that until his word was just the power of God was behind his word, but yet to him he didn't think of that. What do you think about it? Look at Brother Branham. No wonder he could be a pastor. I had a sinner tell me something one time, and I thought it was a pretty good point. He said, don't get between a man and his wife. when you're discussing things. It's set off to the side because you're in trouble. It's because they're going to get together and you're going to be the dirty dog. Now you tell me that's wrong? You want to go to some of these places and let them tell you about it? Don't get between a man and his wife. You're going to get in trouble because you're going to say to her, well, I think you're, and I'm thinking, and about that time, they're going to both quit talking to each other. And they're going to go, bink, 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 and they're going to get you. They're going to be after you. This old Bud's went through some holes in the wall to find out a lot. Let people tell you all about it and then let them decide. Have you ever noticed the word that they said about Brother Branham? That he was the only man that was ever seen that he made you up. He lifted you up. That was an honor that he would lift you up. And him being, one brother said, he said, me and Bill said, we decided this right here wasn't right in the Bible. I said, forgive me. I'm stumbling around because when he said, me and Bill decided, I learned real quick. Bill was sitting there letting him just run his mouth. And after a while, he said, brother, you go do it this way. If the brother had any sense at all, he'd go do it the way he said it. I'm getting into ministries and things like that. But listen, when you come into the fivefold ministry, you come into offices. Gifts are offices. It's not a pastor can pass out a speaking in tongues or shouting or crying or any kind of a gift to you. That's laying on hands. Brother Run said, I don't agree with that. He said, that's where I differ with those brothers. He said, you can't lay on hands to pass out gifts, but says you can lay on hands to activate the gift that is in the person and thing. Right. But when you say, I'll give you a gift, we need to go up there because Brother Dale, I heard he can give out gifts. Well, boy, that'd be pretty good. I can't give you nothing but the Word of God. Then you're going to have to make up your mind what to do about the rest of it. Because a minister is an office. And as I said, surely we're past the point of thinking about an office as being a building with walls. When you're talking in spiritual offices, it's a situation or a positional point that is valued in line or looking at it as to be the thing that it should be in the line of Christianity. It has nothing to do with an office building or anything like that. You go over to Banks County and you go to the sheriff's office. Well, sure, yeah, we know what the sheriff's office, right? You go over there and say, where's the sheriff's office? Well, it's right back there, three doors down. Well, sure, that's right. That's his office. But then you turn back around and say, where's the sheriff? He's fulfilling his office today because he's down at the courthouse in Atlanta bringing a case against so-and-so. That's his office. He's the one ordained to do that. Now you can see why Brother Brown says it's your pastor is ordained to carry you through, if he's ordained. And hey, I don't mind quoting. I love to quote. He said, if your pastor won't stay with the truth, finds you one that will. I have no trouble saying that. You don't agree with me the way that I preach and what I do, find you another church. But I will quote some more. Brother Brown said, you have no right to leave a church unless there is a doctrinal issue. Now I can find that for you, but you ought to know it. Unless you got something that pastor's off the word. Well, I don't like him. Well, Lord, that's good, ain't it? I mean, God's going to change the whole world to fit your I don't like you. Yeah. Okay. But let's listen to what he's saying about these things. Go ahead and we'll start with number one. I will read some of these today. Every service I said, we've had these same notes before. This is third message. And we've had these same notes. I just go back and say, yeah, this is the same notes. But look what Brother Brown said on Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, before you could do it, see, now God does that. Then he sends people into the church, such as preachers, teachers, evangelists, gifts of healing. Don't mean the man now can heal you. It means that he has faith in what he's talking about and all proves the Bible and things. All right. After that, there's prophets. That's seers. All those gifts, and without repentance, God sent to that the office. What's what it say? Office gifts. God sent to that. Office gifts are sent by God. They're foreordained of God. Office gifts. Now, see, your gift, if you have a gift, it was foreordained before the world ever begun, God knowing what you would receive. But now, come on, I don't mind, I can quote. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. But it's the word or seed. But remember, everything comes by foreknowledge. Predestination of everything comes by foreknowledge. Watch it now. Office gifts are sent of God, foreordained of God, and they're set in the church. They're born in you. Them traits are born in you when you come to this world. You just find your position. Now, I spent all that time describing how God activates a gift and activates it. That's exactly what he's saying. You just find your position. Find out what God wants to use you for. And he'll take care of it. He'll do it, okay? Go on with Christ, and all those things are in the kingdom of God, and all of it's for the perfecting of the church and to bring it together. So all of the whole thing is for the perfecting. Okay, go ahead to the next one, number two. This is from the Message, Sirs, We Would See Jesus. So when Jesus came on the scene, the Bible said he was to be a prophet. Moses said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet likened unto me. And Israel always believed their prophets because that was God identifying himself in human flesh. You just think what a prophet was. Always. Any Bible scholar knows that. That's the way he identified himself was in his, excuse me, we flicked off. Okay, we'll just read from there because we never back it up. We all know that there's local gifts. Now watch him. Look how Brother Branham defines things. Local gifts in the church. But there is offices of the church. See, women can serve in local doings of the church. But not in the pastor. Not in the preaching. Right? Because that's in your nine spiritual gifts. God can use you, sisters. But just keep it to where you're going and say, don't say, well, I know I'm a preacher because, boy, I tell you what, I said that and it happened. No, see, watch. But there's offices. Now, there's local gifts of nine gifts in the church. Local gifts. But there is offices of the church. And that God that's predestinated or foreordained, God has sent in the church apostles and prophets and teachers, pastors and evangelists and so forth. That's God's gifts set into the church. Then there's nine spiritual gifts that operate in the local body and of the believers. And they must be checked by two or three judges. Now they got to do it, but not this minister up here watching. Before they're to be given to the church. Because, you know, sometimes they could be wrong. But notice these prophets, as they were born like, I believe in Jeremiah here, God said, what, before you was ever conceived in your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet over the nations. But Brother Dale, that just gets so much into me because I can't see the difference between the man and his office. That's what Brother Run says you're doing wrong. He said you try to define the difference between the seventh angel. You got to get it straight. Brother Branham stood before no one. That was the whole message of the day to prove it. He stood before no one. He stood before God. I don't stand before the congregation, but I stand in the point that the basis that I've got to line up what I'm talking about with that prophet.
Amen.
And if I don't, then I am guilty of schism. Well, don't you think Brother Brown was a little off right here that we need to straighten that out? Mm-mm. You've never heard that out of this man. You've always heard one thing, before and after will take care of it. Just get into the message and study it. Okay, listen, because watch now. Were you conceived in the mother of thine ordinary a prophet over the nation? You see, Moses was born a prophet. And John the Baptist, 712 years before he was born, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Isaiah the prophet speaking of him. See, it's not, these gifts are born gifts. God placing them in the church. Offices. Fivefold ministry, gifts from God, offices that God sends. Brother Branham was above offices that was sent.
Amen.
Wade read that now the church age book. The word, you take the church ages and you bring them all down. And each one of those church age messengers was God to the people.
Amen.
All right? Let's see where you're going to fit Brother Branham. Because he said he was not the messenger to Laodicea. The Holy Ghost came himself, 464, the old seal book. The Holy Ghost came himself on the day of Azusa Street. And then you got the ministers of this message got the audacity to say that Azusa Street was false or was not right of God. You look at me, I can call names. Don't do it with me. Just take the basis to realize we, you know, there's one thing about it. Brother Dale said it. He'll stand behind it. There's a man stood in this pulpit right here that I had already corrected him in a meeting we was having. And he said Azusa Street was false. And he said it where we were eating at. And I confronted him in and said, Brother Branham said. Well, he come right here and he said, Azusa Street was false. Of course, everybody in the congregation, 90% of the people, believed him. Because he couldn't preach error. Come on, church. What are we getting into? All right, go ahead. Go to number. Because I want to try to get these. Go to the next one, number three. Now, if you're believers... How many believers is here? I could not do it. I cannot bring him. It takes all of us together to do it. I'm just a part of him and you're a part of him. But if you're sick and needy, I'm your brother. And God sends in the church now. There's 9 spiritual gifts goes in each local body, which is tongues, interpretation, and things. Okay. Even the prophecies and so forth. But there is... The 5 predestinated offices of the church. What is an office? Like I said, you realize that to use the sheriff, you realize that they've kind of done it. But you realize in my day when I was just a kid, you know, the sheriff had so much authority to, but it was something. He was full authority. Man, everything went his way or it didn't go. He'd go shoot you and they just didn't do nothing with him. Because he was the sheriff. But what was it? His office. What is that? Brother Brown said it's not the man with a whistle standing out on the thing that blows it. He said it's that badge. It's his office. And said you better stop. Because that's his office. The whole world is backing up that sheriff. As he does his duty. Because it's an office. With us voted by the people, with God a position appointed of God. An office. Called a fivefold ministry. All right? Are you there? Offices of the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. That's what God said in the church, the Holy Spirit. That's an office. Okay? Now it's the Holy Spirit. That's an office. So it's all fine. the Holy Spirit might fall on one tonight and speak in tongues, and the other give the prophecies and so forth. And then next night it might be somebody else and somebody else to like that. That's local gifts in the body to keep us straight. Okay. But in the church alone, five offices, apostles means missionary, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. God sets those in the church. And let's believe with all of our heart that through these ministering gifts, that the great God of heaven will send Christ among us tonight.
Amen.
That we'll see Jesus. Is that not your prayer?
Amen.
Nine spiritual gifts. Right, that's good. But five offices. And it was so amazing to me that I've got about six or eight I know that I brought in here, and I underlined them to where if you got your notes with me, you can find it. See? Of offices.
Amen.
Sit in the church. You know what a pastor to a church is? He's God to the people. No, bro. He's God to the people as long as his message comes from the prophet. But he loses his own office when he goes after his own idea. Now you see why I holler and scream so much and cry so much about these ministers today and the way they take the message and what they do with it. Well, brother, that brother's got a right. He's a human. There ain't no right in the gospel. The word is either true or not true.
Amen.
See? But you get the difference. See, natural gifts you got in there, but then you come into this five of the nine spiritual gifts, and you run that, and there's a lot that goes with that that can be in the body. Till Brother Branham even said to help keep the church straight is your nine spiritual gifts. Somebody speak in tongues and say, just need to get this straightened up. So and so has been out here committing adultery. Well, there's no problem with that. You know what I mean? Well, no, that ain't... Why not? You're just in the nine spiritual gifts. But the nine spiritual gifts of God. Now you move on up into the five-fold ministry. And you see that five-fold ministry answers to no one, but has to have as their foundation what the apostles and prophets build upon. The foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. So there's a lot of difference in local gifts. They have to be judged. But the fivefold ministry don't have to be judged. He's judged himself. I'm judged every day by whether or not I stay with the message. You don't have to judge me. I've judged my own self. Yeah, but you try to hide it from us. So we get, okay, I got it. Where was it at? I wrote one down where Brother Branham said, don't put your pastor too high. Give him the opportunity to be a human. Don't put him so high that he can't attain to what you got him. It's odd, isn't it? You mean, Brother Dale, I can't have my own idea? Where are you going to fit it? It won't fit in the nine spiritual gifts because one of those is wisdom and another one is knowledge. And wisdom and knowledge goes in the stature of a perfect man to prove the individual to be correct. So our ideas cannot fit in that. Well, who am I going to believe? I've said it and I don't back off. I wouldn't follow the biggest portion of the pastors of this message or the preachers of this message. I would not follow them. I would not go to church with them. I would hunt for me something else if I had to drive across the country. Well, brother, you're trying to run me off. If I can run you off, that's great, because I'm getting rid of a problem. And you're getting rid of one because you're going somewhere else. This church ain't never been built on Brother Dale as a... It's always built on one thing. The Word of God. Let me take that prophet. Like to what I said, when I started looking at this, Gilson Collins, immediately it started appearing. Office, 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 office. I never thought of the fivefold ministry being an office. Had you? You ever thought? I mean, literally, had you ever thought about the fivefold ministry as an office? God give an office. Responsible to God himself. Don't go to a fivefold ministry prophet and say, I think you're wrong. Just print off where he is. And say, I ain't going to talk to you about what I think. Here's what he said. That's no problem to me. Because I know one thing for sure. You're right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and you're wrong, or both of us is wrong. Because we both can't be right and put it in the wrong thing. Do you understand what I'm getting at? The gifts that God gave the church is offices to run the church. Offices. That's why don't come to me and say, Brother Dale, wouldn't it be something if you could run for president? You are degrading my little bit of mentality that I already have or think I have. Because I'm in the greatest position. I'm in the greatest office. Because I am in no way trying to be a Brother Branham, to be that has already been fulfilled and cannot be fulfilled by nobody but that point that he done it. And it wouldn't matter if I'd have been there or you'd have been there. You say, if I'd have been there, I'd have said it. If you'd have been there, you'd been like me, you'd messed it up. So the best thing to say, if you'd have been there, just forget it. Sit down and listen to the prophet. Well, Brother Dale, you're just hateful because I've seen you when you enjoy, you know, and you'd be happy about what you're seeing. I'm happy about what I see, but I'm trying my best to save your soul. Amen. I'm trying to preach what the prophet has said to us. Amen. To save your soul. Amen. And then if I miss it, I have no problems. Because I reached that position a long time ago, I believe, that where Brother Branham said it, he said, with the attitude I have, something like that, he said, I could look at God and he could say, you're lost and going to hell. And he said, I'd say, I love him and walk right on by. Now notice what he said. If he went with the attitude he had right there, with the attitude I have in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and what a pastor of a church is and what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to get you to do, I could walk before God and say, thank you. I tell him every day, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me these things. Now help me get it to the people. See? Because I'm just trying to be the best I can. An office. See, we look at gifts and things. We don't think about it being an office. But that's what it is. It's an office that a minister stands in, an office where nobody else can stand. He gives account to the Lord himself. Well, Brother Dale, you don't think I got a right to come and tell you wrong? I'll give you the right to come and tell me I'm wrong. I don't care whether it's right or not, whether it's right with God or not. I'll give it to you myself. Because I want to be right. And I want you to be right. A fivefold ministry is an office. Set aside of God as a gift to give unto the church. Whatever you do with a gift. Now I'm quoting Brother Renner. Whatever you do with a gift is how you are dealing with God. But now if your pastor is ordained to lead you through, Why are you running around to the neighbors to try to find some? Oh. Why are you traveling somewhere to try to find some? Or sitting listening to it on the internet or something? When you believe your pastor is ordained to lead you through. Now, let's keep it straight. Because you know I have never said a word about you doing that. I have never said you was wrong to go to other churches. But I said one thing for sure that I've always stood on. You bring back a doctrine, I will come to the pulpit and denounce that doctrine. Because I am the pastor. I am ordained to lead you through. Well, let's get to the point of what we need to be. Well, what do you want us to do, Brother Dale? Take up a special offering for you today. Oh, that's good. How about me giving you something? That's where you can't argue with me. You can't argue with me about those things. You can't argue. Say, what do you want, an offering? A special offering, bring it up to buy you a new Cadillac? I'll give away more than most of you make in a year easily. Christmas alone is $14,000 to $15,000 or $16,000 for to give you at Christmas. Why? Because I want to. Not because I have to. But I want to. I want to help you. Because to me, that's a pastor. Like I said, the man said, don't get between a man and his wife. Okay, the best thing you do is get there and say, now listen, I'm not taking sides with neither one of you. We're going to sit here and work this thing out. But I'm going to tell you up front, I ain't taking sides with you. That's a true minister of any ministry. Because you know how that puppy dog little, you look over there and she says, well, he treats me dirty. He don't never tell me he loves me. Well, do you ever tell him you love him? No, it's his job to say it. You ought to try saying it. You ought to try saying, I love you, honey. Yeah, like I've said, sometimes I have to say it, I love you, honey. Oh, but your brother Dale, I'm truthful. I ain't going to lie to you about it. But you see the difference? Do you understand what I'm getting at? That after all is said and done of a fivefold ministry, what are you trying to do? Get something of your own? Some doctrinal? I've had the offer to go to other situations. It would have been a lot of money. I've had an offer, and I had the offerings here for it all the time to have a lot of money. I've never done it. Because it don't suit me. It just don't fit. I'd rather give you than you to give to me. And I tell you one thing that you owe me. You want to know what's the one thing that you owe me? If I'm your pastor, you owe me one thing, to pray for me. You owe me that because you realize what is having to be done and go. And sometimes you have to do things in a different ways and all like that. And sometimes you have to just go off somewhere. But listen, God's office gifts. This is from Perseverance, number 8. But he said, God's office gift, the office, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And we must respect them if we expect something from God. Does that strike home? You want something from God, how do you get it? Bless God, I ain't never, like I talked to a man one time, he said, I ain't paying tithe to no preacher. Well, you know what? That ended me with ever to be able to give him any money. Because if he wasn't going to line up, he wasn't going to get none from me. But that's what he said. He said, I ain't paying tithe to no preacher. Well, Brother Dale, you were talking about the tithe and things a while ago. How do you pay tithe? You realize what I do? All these ministers here, which is contrary to most pastors in this message, any word I've ever heard of, that they don't pay their local ministers. They just feel it an honor to preach to them. Every time anybody preaches here, they get a paid salary, just like I get. Maybe not as much, because it would be hard to do. But, see, I pay tithe. I pay tithe upon my working parts. You know what I mean by that? I retired from General Motors. I get a Social Security check. I get all that. I pay tithe on that because that's my income. But then when it comes to the church and what they give me, I pay tithe on it. Well, how do you keep it straight where you can? I don't. I just depend on God. And some brother comes through and, you know, we have to handle it through the secretary and they say, well, what are you doing? They know right now that the next fella that come ain't going to get the same amount the other fella got, or he might get more, might get less. I just say, and that's why they ask me, what do you say? I said, 800,000. Yeah, I'm paying tithe. You know why? Because that's the money the church give me. What the money that's in this church, this building, and things belongs to the church. But the money that's in take it doesn't belong to the church. It's me. And I have a right to take every dime of it and spend every dime of it. Why? Because it's mine. But I've also paid tithe on what's been given. And always will. I like the way old brother Dick Addison said it. He said, if I backslide and get to where I ain't even a Christian, he said, I'm going to pay my tithe. He said, because the Bible says there's a great honor that goes with that, you know. But you see, I pay tithe. See, a church pays tithe. In the Old Testament, you only had tithe for certain things. You didn't have it for every little doing, but you had a tithe offering for running the church. You had a tithe offering for but the main control was the high priest. He was in full charge. And whatever he said did put it, that's where it went. You see, church, I'm just trying my best to be one thing to you. A Bible pastor. Now, if you're going to narrow it down to five offices, I'm going to make a statement that I've made to you many times, which is the truth, though. I don't consider myself to be much of a pastor. You might label me as a teacher or something. That's up to you. But you see, a man can't hold two offices. Brother Branham was the only man that could hold two offices. I'm not to do it. So if you come down to the point and say, well, okay, Brother Dale, what are you going to do? Well, I'd have to sit down. We'd have to get us a pastor. But we'd have to check him out to see whether he's an apostle or a prophet or a teacher before we could vote for him to find out whether he'd be the pastor. It's not to where I want Brother so-and-so. I like his type of preaching. Well, what is it? Well, I know y'all don't like him because he's a teacher, but I do. Now you put yourself up there. You're trying to determine what office. Come on, musician. Just remember, they're in here, so I'll be glad if you can have them. You've got them. Of how many times Brother Branham would call the fivefold ministry offices. Offices. Ministerial offices. Gifts are offices that God gave the church. But I can also quote a lot of the other that Brother Branham said in the Church Age series. If you won't honor your Church Age messenger, he said God will take him off the scene. Well, don't not have said that because you say, well, Brother Dale, we're going to meet right out of church and dishonor you. Well, go ahead. Just let me know where I can come. I'll save you the trouble. You know, I just walk out. See, because I know for one thing for certain, I'm not saved by preaching. I'm not kept saved by preaching. It's the greatest honor could be, because don't run me for president. That's not an honor. I'm at the position of the greatest honor could ever be, because there's one thing about it. There's only one man higher than my office, and he's passed on, but he brought us the message. But he would say it here today, if he was standing here, he'd say, there's one man higher than my office, and he'd say, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The gifts and callings are really without any repentance or any trying to get them or searching for them. Let's stand together. Think on these things. Pray for Wade this afternoon and the ministry and the things, and we're just trying our best to be what we can be. A gift is also listed, and you start studying about a gift and a position and an office and things, and you'll find that it goes to the military stripes on a man's shoulder. That even though you hate him, I've heard people say, you know, that were in the military, they say, I wanted to kill that guy. We said, one day it come in battle, I wanted to grab him and hug him because I had been trained. I said, I wanted to kill him. But he said, I respected that bar that he had on his shoulder. If you respect anything, just respect one thing, Pastor, and pray for him, that God will use him. And pray for the other four ministries that's there. See, we have the greatest opportunity. We have ministers more than just a pastor. See, these are my pastors. Brother Dale, who's your pastor? Wade, Bob, Louise, Aaron. They're my pastor. I've got to have a pastor. Well, bless God, I don't ask nobody. Brother Randall's my pastor. Oh, glory. You just exposed yourself. You can't hide. All I want is one thing. When we walk out of this thing, I want to stand and look at you as you go by. I had a dream one time, but I tell a dream is a dream. The day of the rapture came, and all of you was walking up a ramp to going around and going up to be able to go on out in spaceships and things. I was standing direct in traffic. I was standing there directing the people to where to go. That's my greatest desire, is to be in Christ what he wants. This by you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. So reach out and anybody have a need? As he goes by, reach out and touch the Lord. Cry, he is passing.
this moment,
Father,
your needs,
our brother fell and hurt his back.
Supply.
You said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we believe it, that by your stripes, he's already healed. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we count it so. Thanking you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? It's just simply to believe him. Simply to believe him. And say, thank you. Thank you, Father. Billy Paul told one time that he went to pick up his dad and they was in a motel or something. He said he went to the door. He said he stopped at the door. He said he could hear Brother Branham. He said he was praying. He said he was saying, Papa, Papa. Well, see, something meant with that name. See, every time a new child comes along in the Dale family, they generally get to pick what my name is. It goes from Poppy to this, now it's Papa. You see? I know what they mean and who they're talking about. Yeah. Because that's the way God is to his people, though. God is taking them away. They're not real fast sometimes, but he's taking them away. And she just wants everything to go on to be right and just get rid of all of these things. So you that have ever had any headaches or anything, just pour your heart out and say, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we count it to be done what our sister's asking for. Her needs are supplied because we believe you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Oh, as he passes by, you'll find it's not too busy to hear your heart's cry.
You're dismissed. Pray one for
another.
Just be with everybody. As we go eat a meal, we'll come back together to hear about you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
To supply.